This is a true crime in real time update from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast.
It began with the kind of quiet tap that could spark a tidal wave. Pastor John Paul Miller, a man under the microscope since the tragic death of his wife, Micah Miller, found himself in handcuffs after a brief altercation outside his church. A tap on the brim of a protester's hat with his cell phone now carried legal consequences, reigniting public fury and placing Miller once again at the center of a storm. The protests outside Solid Rock at Market Common weren't new, but their intensity had grown. Demonstrators carried signs demanding justice for Micah, accusing Miller of playing a role in her untimely death. Among the most vocal was Sandra Karen, who had a heated exchange with Miller that day. In footage later reviewed by police, Miller can be seen turning to face Karen, holding his phone close to her, and making what she described as an antagonistic gesture. Karen called the police, and Miller was charged with third-degree assault, a misdemeanor, before being released on bond. While the charge itself might seem minor, its timing was anything but. Just days earlier, federal agents had raided Miller's Myrtle Beach home, seizing documents and other items. The FBI's involvement signaled a new phase in the investigation into Micah's death, a case already shrouded in controversy. Authorities had initially ruled it a suicide, pointing to surveillance footage showing Micah purchasing a firearm and ammunition mere hours before her death at Lumber River State Park. However, Micah's family and friends had long raised doubts, alleging a pattern of abuse and coercion in the marriage. The raid also raised questions about the financial dealings of Solid Rock Ministries. Public records revealed the church's significant real estate holdings, valued at over $5 million. Shortly after the raid, the church began quietly relocating, with movers spotted clearing out the building and its sign removed. Meanwhile, Miller had filed paperwork to establish a new ministry, Living Water Church, signaling a fresh start, or perhaps an escape route. Behind the scenes, the legal battle between Miller and Micah's family was winding down. After months of public and legal sparring, the two sides reached a confidential settlement. While the details remained sealed, the agreement effectively closed the door on any civil wrongful death claims. It was a resolution that left both sides claiming victory but little closure. The focus shifted to legislative reform. Micah's family and their legal team seized the moment, pushing for a coercive control law in South Carolina. The proposed legislation would criminalize a range of abusive behaviors, from financial manipulation to psychological torment, actions they argued had defined Micah's marriage. Though similar laws existed in other states, South Carolina's version had stalled in committee for years. Regina Ward, the attorney representing Micah's family, stood before reporters, her voice steady but impassioned. "Coercive control is psychological warfare," she said, outlining the bill's potential to save lives. Ward and Micah's family called on protesters to redirect their energy toward advocacy, framing the law as Micah's legacy. While the legal settlement had silenced one battlefront, the public discourse surrounding Miller was far from over. His history as a church leader came under renewed scrutiny, with allegations of misconduct and manipulation casting a long shadow. Micah's own words, as recounted by her family, painted a chilling picture of a woman who feared for her life. Yet Miller maintained his innocence, describing Micah's struggles with mental health and framing her death as a personal tragedy rather than a criminal act. The case's complexity deepened as more details emerged. According to police reports, Micah had recently filed for divorce and sought a no-contact order against Miller. She had also reported incidents of harassment, including slashed tires and GPS trackers on her car. Despite these warnings, authorities had not filed charges against Miller related to those claims. Even as Miller faced his latest legal hurdle, his supporters rallied, portraying him as a man wronged by public opinion and media scrutiny. His attorney condemned the falsehoods circulating online, insisting that Miller had been a devoted husband navigating his wife's mental health challenges. The court of public opinion, however, remained divided, with each new revelation fueling speculation. As the dust settled on the latest chapter of this unfolding drama, one thing was clear. The story of Micah Miller's life and death was far from over. It was a tale of love and loss, power and control, faith and betrayal. And at its heart was a question that lingered like a shadow. What really happened to Micah Miller, and who, if anyone, would be held accountable? The case of Micah Miller is a labyrinth of grief, legal maneuvering, and unanswered questions. From the moment her death was ruled a suicide, the narrative spiraled into something far more complex. On the surface, this could be seen as another tragic case of mental health struggles ending in self-harm. But as we peel back the layers, we find a web of control, suspicion, and allegations that challenge the official story. The recent arrest of John Paul Miller, though seemingly minor, has reignited the public's focus on his role in Micah's life and death. What stands out is the community's collective resolve to seek justice even when faced with legal setbacks. The Justice for Micah protests now in their sixth month reveal a deep distrust in the system's ability or willingness to hold certain individuals accountable. But this arrest also raises a question. Is the legal system finally catching up, or is this merely a distraction from the larger issues at play? From a psychological standpoint, the push for a coercive control law highlights an often overlooked aspect of abuse. Unlike physical violence, coercive control leaves no visible scars, yet its impact can be just as devastating. The proposed law isn't merely about punishment. It's about recognizing and addressing a form of abuse that chips away at a person's autonomy and identity. If passed, it could set a precedent, offering victims a new legal avenue to seek justice. Micah's story also underscores a broader societal issue, the intersection of religion and power. As a pastor, John Paul Miller held a position of authority, one that may have complicated his marriage dynamics. The allegations of control and manipulation, if proven true, paint a picture of a man who may have wielded his influence in deeply personal and damaging ways. Yet, without concrete evidence, much of this remains in the realm of public discourse, where opinions often overshadow facts. As we await further developments, one question remains: how do we navigate the fine line between holding individuals accountable and ensuring they receive a fair trial? The legal and emotional complexities of this case remind us that justice is rarely straightforward. And while the court may have the final say, the court of public opinion will continue to play a powerful role. That's all for now. We'll keep digging and getting you the facts. Thanks for listening. Be sure to press subscribe so you don't miss any of our updates.
In a world where the darkest secrets lie just beneath the surface.
They said it was an accident, but the evidence says otherwise.
Where hidden killers roam unnoticed in the shadows.
I think you would definitely be looking at a blend of toxic, very bad narcissistic personality traits, and they will be vengeful and possibly resort to violence.
Join Tony Bruschi as he uncovers the truth behind the most chilling cases.
They said it was an accident, but the evidence clearly says otherwise.
Each episode, we dig deep into the minds of those who commit the unthinkable.
To your point on narcissism, he thinks in his own mind how witty he is.
Yeah.
But he lost that jury. I was done with him in 2 minutes.
From unsolved mysteries to infamous crimes.
Geez, you've just talked about how you've taught yourself how to do everything under the sun. I bet you did a YouTube video, how to best kill somebody with a knife.
Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi takes you where few dare to go.
How does someone with such a dark secret go unnoticed for so long?
With multiple new episodes every single day.
We're not just telling stories, we're seeking justice.
Listen now on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.